got my note yesterday? Or...
Yes, yes.
I got it this morning.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm still trying to figure out how Bruce is on the list. Bruce Beckwith.
I got a message originally from Ken Stubbs saying that he was an extra one on the list, and I hadn't put him on the mailing list yet, and then I got a message from Bruce to say that in fact that was so, but he didn't have to be visible on the list. And I put him on the list actually because I can't, you know, have people on and off like that, you know what I mean? everybody's got to get the mail.
Okay, yeah, because I'm not sure why Ken was saying that, but Bruce is on the task force too.
Oh, because I understood you were on task force one.
Hello?
No, Bruce is on two.
On two?
Bruce is on, yeah.
Okay, I must take him off.
We met yesterday on task force two.
Yes? Was Bruce on the call?
Not that I recollect.
I don't think Bruce was on the call yesterday.
No, he wasn't on the call yesterday. Just let me...
All right, well, I need to check my list, but I thought there was... The registry had picked two for each task force.
What I'll do is I'll try and pull up the mail about this, if I can do it quickly.
The registry constituency picked... I think it was Jordan and me, David.
Right, for two.
For Task Force 2 yesterday. And Jordan was elected chair. And then I'm... Jeff, you and I are the ones for Task Force 1.
Right.
I think that's all.
Don't you have somebody on Task Force 3?
Yeah, we do.
Kent is on Task Force 3.
By the way, everyone, this is David Ferris. I've joined. I'll be on the call for probably around 20 minutes.
Okay. Jeff, can I read you the mails that are in front of me?
Hello, Thomas here.
Actually, Glenn, do you mind if you guys work that out?
Okay, sure. I'll send you the string of mails, Jeff, all right?
Okay.
Do a roll call.
Yes, certainly. David Ferris?
Yes.
David Maher?
Maher.
Jeff Newman?
Here.
Tony Harris? Minton Miller?
Here.
Paul Sahura?
Present.
Jeremy Banks?
Yes, I'm here.
John Wolf? Thomas?
Yep.
Thomas Rusler?
Yep.
You and Wendy, is she perhaps on the call too?
I think she should be here, but I don't know precisely. So if she's not here, I'll be talking.
Okay, fine. Good. All right. So we have a full house except for Tony Harris.
Okay. And I understand we received a nomination for chair yesterday?
Yes, well, that is the nomination that has been discussed by Jeff Newman. Perhaps, Jeff, you give the... Because you...
I haven't seen emails since last night, folks. I'm sorry if there was discussion. I missed it.
Yeah, that's okay. I can speak. I think David Farris, sorry if I'm not pronouncing that right, had sent in a nomination for Bruce Beckwith, but it turns out that Bruce is not actually officially part of the first task force.
Okay.
Now, I also need to disclose that we're supposed to assign a primary person, and the other person, I mean, maybe Marilyn or someone who's on the council call, is not supposed to, the backup person, I don't know what the role of the backup person, but I'm the backup person, and I don't know if I'm allowed to nominate someone, but I suggested that David Maher would be a good leader of this group, but...
Thank you. I decline.
It doesn't matter.
Thomas here. I actually asked on the council call whether or not external people could be appointed as chair, and I believe that the general consensus was yes. So the fact that he is not a member of the task force is not a reason why he could not chair it.
Just to be really clear, the PDP is explicit on this point that the chair can be either an external person or a, actually does not even have to be a constituency member or a member of council.
Barbara, I missed that call. I know that was taken up, but let me just disclose that I'm going to be objecting to that in council on the call today, and I'll be putting forward a position statement about why I object to that. But I don't see that as a in terms of fully external people to the process. I don't see that as disqualifying Bruce, who is a member of the constituency. And I think it would be up to the registry constituency, if he were nominated, if they wanted to add him to the task force, that should be their discretion.
Right, and this is Jeff, Barbara. I was on the council at the time that provision, and I was on that advisory group when that provision of the PDP was drafted. And that what the PDP says is that it does not have to be a member of the council that's the chair.
Right.
I think it was left pretty much open as to whether nothing was ever mentioned in the PDP as to whether it could be someone outside the group. With that being said, I offer no opinion. I'm just on that.
Well, from my point of view, the PDP basically says the task force appointed chairman. Period. It does not give any qualification about the chairman, and it is explicit that the chairman does not have to be a council member. So from my reading, any prohibition absent is what means that the task force has full discretion on him to select as chairman.
Okay, I need to stop the discussion just for a moment, because
okay.
I would like to not rehearse the discussion you're going to have with council. That's sort of not, this isn't the place for that discussion to take place. Since Bruce is not on the call and I have not read email, does anyone know if he accepted the nomination?
Nothing came through as far as I know from him.
Okay, so I would feel hesitant to go through an election for somebody who hasn't had a chance to decline the position, if you know what I mean. I mean, it's like electing the person who's not in the room.
Exactly.
Got it.
So I guess at this point I'd like to entertain other nominations for chair of the committee, of the task force, rather.
Who's on, this is Jeff Newman, who's on from the registrar, Ms. Call?
Paul Stahura.
Hey, Paul, you interested? I know it's a big issue for you.
It is a big issue, but I don't think I'm interested. Who else on the call is interested?
Barbara, I'm sorry, I was off for just a minute. It's Marilyn. I'm back on.
That's okay. All I said was that I didn't think we should elect Brian while he wasn't here.
Is anybody on the call interested in being the chairman?
Overwhelming support here.
Barbara, it's Marilyn. Could you, I think it was helpful, can you just outline the role of chairman again for people?
Sure.
Because I having chaired task forces, I can attest to the fact that really the role of chair is changing and will be much less demanding than it has been in the past and Milton is chaired as well, because of the fact that there's staff support. But it might help others.
Yeah, actually, for this particular task force, the role of staff support may play less of a role than it does on some of the others, because the research tasks are a little more explicitly aimed at constituency concerns that can be addressed within the constituencies to a great extent. The I don't actually have, I'm sorry, I'm at a place where I don't have connectivity once I leave the office, and so I'm going to see if I have the bylaws in a form that I can look at without being connected. But let me, for the moment, just go through the description of work for this particular task force. And I think what I'll do is I'll read you, there's just two paragraphs for the in-scope section, and then there's the actual tasks that are outlined. And the role of the chair for the task force is pretty straightforward. It's to coordinate the activities of the task force and to ensure that the work is developing appropriately, so that, you know, whoever gets assigned a given task is actually performing it. Okay, in the description of work, the in-scope section, the task force should consider the effects of any proposed policy changes on the ability of groups such as law enforcement, intellectual property, internet service providers, and consumers to continue to receive information necessary to perform their functions. The task force should consider the effects of any proposed policy changes on the competitive provision of domain name services, including WHOIS access and transfers, and on the competitive provision of value-added services using WHOIS information. And then there's a number of things that are declared out of scope, including developing a technical specification, which the IETF is currently working on. The tasks and milestones, collect the stated needs and the justification for those needs from non-marketing users of contact information. And there's a parenthesis, this could be extracted from the Montreal workshop and also by GNSO constituencies, and should also include accessibility requirements, such as those based on the W3C standards. And then the second task is to review general approaches to prevent automated electronic data mining and ensure that the requirements for access are met, including accessibility requirements for those that may be, for example, visually impaired. The third task is to determine whether any changes are required in the contracts to allow the approaches to be used above, for example, the contracts requiring the use of Port 43 WHOIS protocol, and this may not support approaches to prevent data mining, so the options there have to be explored. Each milestone should be subject to development internally by the task force along with appropriate public comment process, for example, seeking specific advice from the technical community or from WHOIS service operators to ensure that as much input as possible is taken into account. So for this task force, the goals are pretty narrow in a certain sense, and the data gathering is pretty specific. On the two other task forces, there's a much broader requirement to survey literature and existing reports and to survey a broader range of issues. For this one, it's more clearly defined as, you know, specifically what are the non-data mining uses of access to the WHOIS data and how to craft a policy that will allow those uses while restricting the bulk access concerns that people have, and what contract changes would need to be made to accommodate any restrictions. Yes.
It's Glenn. I have in front of me the bylaws, the ICANN bylaws.
Oh, thank you. Could you just look at the section for the appointment of chair?
Appointment of task force chair. The staff manager shall convene the first meeting of the task force within 5 calendar days after receipt of the charter. At the initial meeting, the task force members will, among other things, vote to appoint a task force chair. The chair shall be responsible for organizing the activities of the task force, including compiling the task force report. The chair of the task force need not be a member of the council.
Okay. Yes. Oh,
So can I make a nomination from the floor?
Yes, I'm still entertaining nominations.
I'm going to nominate someone who had not had a chance to ask if he would agree to serve. So this will give you an opportunity to do that. I nominate Jeff Newman. I'm not on email, so I'm not able to inquire.
I would take the role so long as it turns out that it's not the chair that writes the whole report. But I would take the role if you guys want me to.
I can offer that while I think the staff support will not be as needed for the research part of this, staff support will be available for writing the reports.
Okay, then I will accept.
Okay, great. So we need to have a vote. We need to have a second. I'm sorry. You'd think I'd be used to this. But I'm sorry. Who was that from?
That was from Milton.
Thank you, Milton. Glenn, can you do a roll call?
Do you need other nominations?
Are there any other nominations? We had a pretty extensive silent period while you were off the phone.
Yeah, I know. But it's just protocol-wise, good to do.
Yes. Are there any other nominations for chair? Would anyone like to self-nominate? Okay, in that case, I'm going to close the nominations. And Glenn, can you do a roll call?
Yes, I'll do a roll call. And David Fares?
Yes.
You vote for Jeff Newman.
Four, yes.
David Maher?
Nope, maybe we lost David.
We lost David. Jeff Newman?
I think I'll abstain at this one.
Tony Harris? He's still not on the call. Milton Mueller?
Yes.
Paul Stahura?
Yes.
Jeremy Banks?
Yes.
And so John Wolfe doesn't. Thomas?
Yes.
And that's all the voting, so you have passed unanimously, Jeff.
Thanks.
With one abstention.
and I must announce that I'm going to have to drop off. So the BC won't be represented once David drops off, but I'm sure we can catch up.
Yeah, I think not to step on Jeff's toes too much, but our main task at this point is setting the next meeting date and going over some information that I'll be providing to the group.
Good. Marilyn, are you going to, do you have like 1 second?
Yep, I have about 1 second.
Okay, I was just, one of the things that I would like to do is, you know, I know we have the ability to get in experts, so I'll probably send out an email and I guess we'll talk maybe with Barbara about finding appropriate experts, especially law enforcement. Another one
sure.
That we don't have from the constituencies to help us with the research.
Sure.
Okay. Just wanted to clarify you're on board with that. And
great.
If you have anybody in law enforcement that you know of, I'll ask for it in the email, but you can send it to me, I guess. Okay. Sorry, Barbara. Thanks.
Oh, no, thank you. So, Jeff, if I can ask your permission, I'll provide some information that came up at the other two task force meetings.
Please, yeah.
Okay. Basically, there were some discussions that still need to be resolved that came up at either or both of the other two task forces that met yesterday. And the first is... there was a request for an opinion from council on the voting rights of various participants in the task forces.
From council, as in general council, not council as in GNSO council, right?
Actually, it was from, I'll make it clear, from GNSO, from general council, from our lawyer, on an interpretation of the bylaws regarding the voting rights of various participants. And those participants broke down into representatives of constituencies, liaisons, the nominating committee appointees, and any experts that we may choose to add to the task force. And I spoke with him last night, and we're going to write something today to send out to people. Let's see. The other thing that came up was that there was a request for statements of interest, like, and they weren't specifically conflict of interest statements from the various participants in the task force, so that the purpose of this is to be able to provide for any public report that we do some sense to outsiders of who actually compiled the report. And so if you were acting as the representative of your constituency, that would be your statement of interest. And if you had some other, you know, when we have experts or whatever added to the task force, then that could be a, they could provide their statement of how their position allows them to, you know, would be affected by the development of policy in this area. Again, that's something that I will be sending out an email to the task forces collectively to solicit those statements. And it will outline pretty clearly what we're looking for and the purpose of it, so that there was some discussion yesterday about whether this was designed to, you know, force people to be conflicted out of particular discussions. And no, the whole point is not to do that, but to, in fact, just make it clear to people who are unfamiliar with our processes and unfamiliar with our participants who it is that actually put together the material. Another request for my work was to develop a calendar for the task force showing, if we follow the PDP strictly, what that would lead to. And I gave a date yesterday on one of the task forces that turned out to be wrong. Because I had not had anybody review my timeline, and so when they reviewed my timeline, we had to tighten it up quite a bit. And so I'll probably be sending that out today after I sit down with the other person who was going over my numbers. And it's there's a very tight version, which is, you know, sort of strictly follows the PDP in terms of calendar days, and then I'll provide some guidelines for if you moved it off of calendar days and onto working days, what the changes would be. Working days meaning not including the weekends. I'm not going to try to map out holidays for this time period because they're so different for everybody. But I will try to block out weekends so that you can see what the effect would be. And then for the other two task forces, there was a requirement of me to do an assessment of what the data gathering process and the time frames for that would be. I think for this task force, the data gathering is very explicitly lined out, you know, mapped out, and I think you all probably, particularly the registrars and the registry people, have a much better idea of what is going to be involved in that than I will have. And so I think for this particular task force, we might ask that people on the task force take that responsibility. And then we were also asked to get some kind of statement about how much staff support was going to be available for the various task forces. And I'm meeting with Paul Toomey tomorrow to discuss that very issue. And so we probably will have an answer for you Wednesday or Thursday about what's going to be available and who's going to be available and what kind of resources will be available. And that pretty much covers my information. So, Jeff, back to you.
Okay, so you're gonna send that out in an email as well, so for the people who weren't on the...
Oh, yeah, once we have that information from Paul. Oh, you mean send out this list of the required... Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, I'll try to do that as well.
That would be great, just so... for Marilyn and other people that David or whoever else had dropped off during the call.
Sure.
Okay, so with all the people that are on the call, I think, you know, there's a lot of material out there on this subject, I know already. This subject has been talked about on, you know, at several of the meetings already, and it's been the subject of a number of papers and other things. But I think what probably do is, after you, Barbara, send out that email, mm-hmm. I'll probably respond to that with just some of the things that I envision and ask, you know, about experts and who people feel could give us any kind of information. One of the good things is that, you know, the groups that are laid out, with the exception of law enforcement, we have representatives from, and you know, they can probably find, you know, the IP constituency can probably find some good intellectual property experts in the ISPs as well. And consumers is often the tougher one. I know Thomas is on here from ALAC, and we should probably brainstorm as to how we can get the effect on consumers of modifying the policy.
The one addition I would make to that is you may want to invite somebody from the RIRs to talk about how the numbering who is issues, you know, are being worked out, because I know that there's a number of similar issues they're facing there, and their solutions are a little different than the ones that have been talked about on the domain name side.
Okay. Well, I guess one of the other questions I have for you is, and maybe to go back to the council list, is a question I have as how far, I know the things that are out of scope, obviously we can't touch, mm-hmm. but there are things that it says in scope. And so I guess if it says, you know, the task force should consider the effects of any proposed policies on the ability of groups such as, you know, list a couple groups, I guess we're able to go outside those groups and find other groups that...
If you identify groups that are, you think will be similarly affected, then definitely I think you're within scope to do that. I think the areas that you would have to go back to the council to seek permission to expand the scope would be if you decide that you really do need to look at, say, the technical implementations of CRISP or something like that, because that's sort of explicitly parsed out to, you know, a separate discussion.
Right.
Jeff, can I ask you a procedural question?
Sure.
I'm not on the council anymore, and this may have been resolved in your council discussion setting up these task forces, but...
Before you ask, I'm not on the council anymore either. but go ahead and ask. Maybe I can...
When we decided to have two people from constituencies be on, are we, at the same time, when there are two people, are we restricting actual participation to one, or are we allowing both of them to be fully participating in the discussion?
Thomas, I think you were on the call. So
it's restricted to one fully participant. That's the request of the non-commercial constituency, in fact.
Shall I read you the decision statement of the last council meeting?
Sure, thanks, Glenn.
Constituencies be allowed to appoint more than one person to listen in on the teleconferences and to participate in the mailing list. But in any single teleconference or physical meeting, there is only one person from the constituency to represent the constituency view.
Okay.
Okay, so I guess one of the things that we should do is find out who the primary point of contact is that can participate, or can that change?
That can change. The whole point of having what Glenn was saying at the beginning of the call, the point of having everybody added to the mailing list was that there was no way to designate a primary recipient of the email and a secondary recipient of the email. And so I think that for communication purposes, everybody has to be treated the same. For purposes of participation on a given call, you're looking at the constituency has to decide who's the primary person for that call.
What about for two people in the list?
Well, I think that wasn't explicitly addressed, actually.
What was the question? I'm sorry, this is David.
I had a question. It's Paul speaking about, you know, what about participating in the list? I understand the calls.
I think what I'm hearing here, and Thomas, if you want to present it to the council today, what I'm hearing here is that on the list, anyone could send in their comments. And in fact, I think that's a wise way to approach this. But on a call, on each call, when we do the roll call of who's on each call, we should ask who the constituency has designated as their primary point of contact. And then during that particular call, only the person who's designated as the primary is able to speak.
That's how I read the council's decision, too. From what I recall from the discussion, the primary concern from Mark Schneider at the time was that on calls bandwidth is limited. So if some constituencies by having more members speak on the call could consume much more of the time than other constituencies.
Right.
This would be inequitable, but we don't have the same kind of bandwidth constraint on the mailing list.
That makes sense to me.
I would ask for one exemption for that because initially David Maher is the primary person from the registries. I would ask for permission as chair to speak, but not during these calls. I will only speak as a coordinator of the task force and not as from the registry position, if that's acceptable to the rest of the group.
No, Jeff, I'd like to see you chair this speaking.
That's why we elected you, Jeff.
We did pantomime over video. This would be a good way of...
Well, you know, I figured if I didn't say it now, then someone would bring it up at a later meeting.
Well, Jeff, you're going to share weird instant messages.
I'm not sure the registrar's constituency was aware that we could have two, like a primary and a secondary. I'm going to go back to them and probably have another vote to elect somebody else as a secondary. Is that still okay?
Yeah, I from my perspective, I think that's fine. Anyone else?
Fine.
Barbara, I'm sorry, were you starting to say?
No, I was just going to say, I don't think there's anything restricting it. The task forces, from my discussions with John Jeffrey, the task forces are pretty open to construction in whatever way is appropriate to the issue at hand. There's very little explicitly stated about what needs to be there, and there's a lot sort of left open to the discretion of whoever's forming the task force. So.
Jeff, this is David Ferris. Unfortunately, I have to drop off. I have to go into another meeting, but I know that we were going to schedule the next call.
Yeah, so I think we can actually do that online. The reason is I'd like to see the email from Barbara and then to follow up as to what the next activity should be.
One thing we could do here, Jeff, would be to find a time window.
Yeah, in general, I mean, I'd like...
In terms of time zones, what time zones are represented here and what work days of week work best.
That's a good point. So we have Europe, we have North America.
Yeah, really, it's Europe and North America extending to the West Coast, and that's it for this... task force. We don't have anyone from the Asia-Pacific region.
What time is it in Europe, the far eastern part of Europe right now?
It's
Anyone more eastern than Germany?
Okay, it's 2:30.
What time?
It's 2:30 in the Netherlands right now.
Same.
That's not eastern.
2:30, is that p.m. or a.m.?
P.m.
I really do have to run. Just to let you know that I'm pretty much out of pocket through December 12th. I'm going to be in Geneva for meetings.
Okay.
Okay.
Thanks, David.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
So I'm thinking that the best times to hold a call in order to not be too early to the West Coast and not too late. I mean, is this generally a good time for everyone?
Not for me, because I have to wake up at 4:30.
Yeah. So what I was thinking is probably around if it were 11 a.m. here, what time would it be in Europe? It would be
11 a.m. here being what time zone?
Here being the Washington, yeah, I'm thinking to myself and talking. 3 hours
later than we started today.
Yeah, 3 hours later, so it'd be about 5 o'clock in the afternoon if we started at 11 a.m. Eastern time.
Yes, that's correct.
Mm-hmm.
I would say that right now we have the Monday morning 11:30 time slot and the Wednesday morning 10 o'clock Eastern time slot are already booked for other task forces. I will include that information in the email that I send out so that if people think that 11 o'clock Eastern time is a good time to meet, we have to pick a day other than Monday or Wednesday.
Barbara, I just wanted you to know I was able to dial back in. So.
That's good.
Well,
we're just doing meeting times right now.
Ah, yes. Your biggest challenge.
How are Tuesdays for people at 11 a.m.?
Jeff, Tuesdays are no better or worse than the other day for me, but the particular week of the World Summit is one I think that we want to avoid scheduling for.
Right, so that's next week.
Right.
Is that correct?
Why do we want to avoid that, Milton? Are people involved in that?
Yeah, lots of people. And somebody who just signed off said he couldn't do anything at that time. I will be
there. David Ferris is going to be attending.
Oh, that's right. David will be at the WISA show.
Okay. And is that the, what are the dates of that exactly?
The week of the 8th, basically.
It ends on the 11th, I think.
So how are people next, and then if it ends on the 11th, how are people the 12th, Friday, at 11 a.m. Eastern time, which is 5 p.m.
No, everybody who's going to that session, first of all, it ends on the 12th, not the 11th. And secondly, people will be traveling on those days.
All right. Then I'll go back to my...
Milton, that's Marilyn, though. Let me speak for the BC. The purpose in adding me as a backup to David was, you know, to the extent possible not to... You know, if David's the only person, then the BC can agree that I can represent them. If he's not the only person, that's, of course, a different issue.
He's not. I'm going to be...
Right, good. Milton's saying that he's also in the same situation.
Sorry.
Well, then why don't we schedule our first call, then? We can certainly do things online. Why don't we schedule our next call for the 16th, December 16th, which is Tuesday at 11 a.m. Eastern time?
I may have a scheduling conflict there.
Okay for me.
It's okay with Bob.
Well, I can try to avoid it.
Okay, or Wendy, if she can make it.
Yeah. Could work.
Let's tentatively schedule that, Barbara.
Okay, that's fine. Scheduling is as with the other calls, going to go through Glenn because she coordinates that stuff so well.
Okay, Glenn.
And she and I are working together to...
So the time window is Tuesday's 11.
Eastern.
Right.
Which is, I guess, Eastern time, which I guess is 5 p.m. your time?
Yep.
Okay.
Great. And Barbara, I'm sorry, would you do the other two are scheduled already as well?
Yeah, I had...
And 10.
Right, one of them is actually scheduled for next week. Actually, both of them are scheduled for next week, but I don't think that the other people had conflicts with the WISIS attendance.
Right.
All right, we'll work online, so please be checking your email. We're going to, you know, we have a very short time frame to do this, so I'd like to, you know, not hold off activity until the next call. I'd like to start as soon as possible, and one of the things I'll be calling for or asking for is for... as experts in certain areas, and also what groups we think are the relevant groups that we should be eliciting this research from. Now, a lot of the research, like I said, or some of the research has been done already. You know, there have been plenty of opportunities for representatives of law enforcement in the workshops that we've had, but that's, you know, I think we should still, I'm not sure this particular question has been posed to them. So if people have ideas of who we can go to for experts, and I don't want to be U.S.-centric on this. I want to have law enforcement from different areas and you know, IP owners from different areas of the world as well. So that's one of the things I'll call for in emails in the next week or so.
Sounds good.
All right. Thanks, everyone. Thanks, Paul, for getting up so early.
Thank you. you. Bye-bye.
I'm sorry, Barbara, for getting up so early.
Yes, I'm sorry, Barbara
and Milton, but that's okay. We're all okay.
Okay, thanks, everyone.
Right, bye-bye.
Okay, bye.